This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. There have been a lot of parents taking on a new role as schools have been closed for coronavirus concerns. I'm sure some of you have had a hard time finding places for your kids to set up their books and computers. Today I'll read from a booklet created in 1970 called Footsteps in Education, A History of Rose Oconee Rural Schools. I'll read from the section called School Furnishings. I think it was written by Vivian Egan. The furnishings of each rural school followed the same general pattern. The teacher's desk stood in a prominent place in the front of the room. A number of the schools had a raised platform from which the teacher could more easily observe the entire room of pupils. Double desks were common. Later, the single desks were added, many of which were used for the younger students. The double desks often became a place of punishment when some naughty person was moved to sit beside a boy or girl. It also happened, just as in Tom Sawyer, that the teacher erred and a boy was seated next to the girl of his dreams. The wood stove took up much space in one corner of the room. Its black jacket served as a protection from burns and also dispersed the heat. Before this type of wood stove came into being, the pot-bellied stove was used, and since this did not circulate the heat well, it always was found in the middle of the room. Many of the wood stoves had a built-in humidifier. If these became dry, they had a tendency to smell when water was added again. A cold air return was located behind the stove. How much fun it seemed to be to talk or sing into this from the outside. It was also fun to place a piece of paper in this return and see it sucked up the pipe and out into the air. In later years, the schoolrooms in the Winnoska district had fans placed at the ceiling. These were at the top of a tube which led to the floor. The purpose was to draw cold air off the floor and blow it across the stove. The drinking fountains varied, however. Those of 44E and 44W were the type which stood on long legs. Below the fountain was a stand for wastewater. The fountain itself was a bubbler type, which worked well when quite full or if a bigger person tilted it for you when needed. A more modern type was the stone crock. Then individual paper cups were used. Such items today are considered a prized relic of bygone days. The globe was suspended from the ceiling as floor space was available. It was lowered by pulleys and weights. When teacher was out, it was fun to raise and lower it. Sometimes it went so fast, the globe would unhook and fall. The earth then maybe would be found with new cracks on it. One large dictionary had its own pedestal near the chimney. It was too large to carry around. Its size was approximately 14 inches in length and width. Reference books had shelves along the back of the room, and sometimes a table was placed here also. The library books came in boxes to each school as a traveling library. Books for each grade level were in the box, so the choice was limited in numbers. Paper and art materials were shelved wherever space was allotted in some cupboards. Extra texts had specific shelves or cupboards in the main room, entry, or sometimes even in shelves in the inside woodshed of the schoolroom. Coats were hung on hooks in the entry during the spring and fall months, but during winter they were hung behind the stove. Overshoes were moved inside then too. The lunch kits were put on the floor below the coats, so you can see that space indoors was crowded for the winter. A large map case was at the front of the room. A map of Minnesota had its own holder near it. The telephone hung along the front blackboard. Every ring on that party line was heard at the school too. Two pictures hung in most rural schools. George Washington's picture was in front of the room, and the painting of the Constitution was in back, with a very large pendulum clock near it. Abraham Lincoln's picture was also an item usually found in the rural school. The American flag flew from a tall flagpole. Later, brackets were put on the schoolhouse, and the flags on short poles fluttered in the breeze. Possibly a small table was at one side in front of the room. Here, lower grades held their classes. Most classes were called to the front of the room, and recitation of lessons were held as students were seated on the front seats of each row. Some schools had a long bench which looked like other seats, except that it was maybe 8 feet or more long. Winnoska District Number 62W had a Victrola phonograph, and many danced to Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush, a popular tune for the little ones. Many a school day began by singing, Father, we thank thee for the night. The day was very often closed, Day is dying in the west. How often, as the students of 44E sang this song, the sunshine poured into the west door, making the words of the song even more meaningful. Thanks to all the teachers and parents getting through this unusual time, and thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.